I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Here weekdays from 9 to 11 o'clock. This is 2 hours of sanity in a truly insane world. I don't know there's another way to describe it. Maybe this has happened historically before. We live in some of the most bizarre times I've ever even thought existed. So this is 2 hours where we try to cut through to just the facts, not the insanity that goes on and the facade of what's, I don't care if it's economics or politics or what. We live in bizarro world. This is 2 hours that's not going to participate in that. This is Central Mississippi's safe space here for independent thinkers. Today's Friday. So next hour we'll do False Flag Friday. I got into reading an article last night, very long one, very dense article about World War II. It's really fascinating stuff. We are seeing right now this move to deplatform people. I don't think I've even gotten to the clips. YouTube, which is Google, demonetized a lot of alternative media personalities, particularly on the conservative side, but they also did it to some left-wingers that are not, you know, towing their party line, that aren't kowtowing to either Elizabeth Warren or Hillary Clinton, you know, some independent thinking channels on the left, were demonetized by Google. And now they are rolling out a thing where their new terms of service are, well, if we can't make any money off of you, then we're just going to go ahead and cancel your channel. Now, this is obvious to anybody who's paying attention exactly what's going on. This is a level of censorship. We've seen the idea of people being depersoned. But I got reading this article last night. I'll get into a little bit in False Flag Friday as we get into World War II. World War II was the same thing. Historians that were really well regarded coming through the early 1900s, they were kind of the go-to people. And then they started writing the truth about World War II. And because it did not comport with what the official story was, with what the elites wanted us to know, these people who nobody ever questioned their authenticity, no one ever questioned their facts, their writings were heavily documented, but they were depersoned. Suddenly they disappeared as historians, not held in such good regard. This is fascinating to me. I'm not done with the thing. It's like I say, it was a very long article. I probably spent an hour reading it last night, got into some other things, but I'll go back to it tonight. Not very many Americans will read anything that takes more than, 8 minutes, but this is really interesting stuff, and I'll get to just a couple of paragraphs from it that really show you that World War II's not anything like we've been told. We'll follow that up. That'll be a little deep. That'll be a little bit dark, but then we'll get into finishing up the show this week. We'll look back at the week on the lunatic left and all the insanity that's been going on over there. The past 2 weeks of the impeachment hearings and the Democratic debates, two of the most boring, monotonous, obvious weeks of the news cycle since I've been on the air, for sure, during the Trump presidency. It's just absolutely monotonous and boring, while everybody else, and it's so funny that I've got this political talk show, and I'm so uninterested in the big political headlines, because I see them for what they are. It's just a show. It means nothing, and I care nothing for things that mean nothing. I was never a world wrestling fan. Those guys are incredible athletes. You know, even though this is a spoiler alert. If you don't know about professional wrestling, you might want to cover your ears for just a second. But everybody knows that the outcome of these wrestling matches is predetermined, right? But still, some impressive moves, some gymnastics, some good athletic performance. It just wasn't my cup of tea. I didn't watch that. I'm not interested in politics the way it exists today, the surface of it today, because it's just professional wrestling. It's not earnest. I can point to maybe two or three people in politics right now that when they speak, I pay attention because they may say something real, something honest. And that's out of hundreds, thousands that I cover. Hundreds. I don't guess I get into thousands of personalities, but between the bureaucrats that we name on this show and all of the Congress critters in Washington, D.C., there's like two or three people that when they speak, it's worth listening to them. The rest of it is show and pandering. I've got some odd headlines today. The most entertaining thing. The impeachment was an absolute snooze fest. It accomplished its goals, which was it raised a bunch of money for both of the major political parties. It got you all riled up. If you're a Republican, you got all riled up to come to the defense of the president. If you're a Democrat, got you all riled up to think that you could unseat the Democrat, and it just shows what a criminal Donald Trump is. It served its purpose. It's not going to accomplish anything. Nothing's going to happen. Trump's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. If they vote to impeach him, the Senate will vote to acquit him. He'll stay right where he is, but we will have gone through this collective rallying call on both of our sides because that's what the theater's all about. But by far and away, the most entertaining thing is the Tesla rollout of their new truck. Did you see this thing? I can't do it justice on an audio platform. You're going to have to go and take a look at this during the next break. But Tesla unveiled the Cybertruck. I guess this was yesterday. I don't know. I'd be curious to know if anybody finds this thing attractive. It is futuristic looking, but apparently it's not a concept car. This is what's going to production. It's essentially a triangle, some kind of a ski-wampus triangle. Electric truck, you can get it to go either 200, 300, or 500 miles on a charge at $39,000, $49,000, or $69,000. The funniest thing was, it did not go over well. I have talked about Tesla's death watch on this show often. These things are catching on fire, and I'm not a hater of Elon Musk necessarily. Don't necessarily trust him. He's too much in bed with the government for me. Anybody that gets involved in the green stuff and the carbon neutral sciences, you know, they always seem to be at the trough of taxpayer dollars. Tesla is no different. Elon Musk has gotten a lot of taxpayer money. That's not a true entrepreneur for me. That's a crony capitalist who's having a little bit of fun with taxpayer dollars. And of course, we sit out here and we just accept it. We don't really care or speak up about it. Oh, give Elon our money. But the thing was, this truck is supposed to be fairly indestructible. They took a sledgehammer, I think, to the door of it. No dent. That was successful until they tried to show off the bulletproof or the indestructible glass by taking a metal ball and throwing it at one of the windows, which smashed. Elon Musk apparently let out an audible curse word when his demonstration of the indestructibility of the windows of his truck just smashed. And so they doubled down. Well, maybe that was just an anomaly. Let's throw this metal ball at another window. Maybe that first one was just flawed. So they do it again. And another window smashes in this thing. Tesla's not long for this world. I don't know where the stock is trading these days. It may be bought. I'm not necessarily telling anybody to short the stock. Somebody's going to come in and get this thing for a song, and I don't know if the stock is already traded off. But the Tesla Death Watch is happening. This unveiling was the most entertaining thing of the last 2 weeks, bar none. Nothing that came out of Washington, D.C. over the last couple of weeks that was televised was of any interest to me. The debates, I guess I was actually in Atlanta, but the debates from these people, the impeachment hearings. There was some news yesterday. There's actually a couple of things. Did you hear about this Baltimore mayor who pled guilty? This is a Democratic mayor, very easy pickings story for conservative talk show hosts to do. Yes, it's another corrupt Democrat of another corrupt inner city. They've made such a mess. This one's going to jail like so many of them have. But I'll tell you what, there were some numbers in this story where it really explains why this person is a criminal. I got to tell you, no love lost for her. Yes, you get to crow about another Democratic mayor of another corrupt city going to jail. Yes, it does constantly happen. Yes, everywhere that Democrats get in charge, they destroy. You know something else I figured out? Here's something kind of interesting. Have you ever noticed that when left to their own devices, okay, so you've got the right, you've got Republicans. What do they want, primarily? I mean, now, I'm not talking about the politicians who lord above us and are actually feathering their own nests. You think that they want what we want, but they don't. They are lining their own pockets. They've just got you tricked enough to be on their team. But us out here, if you're kind of on the right, kind of like us, we want to be left alone, right? Most of us on the right believe in free market capitalism. So what happens is we live that existence every day. People on the right go and they buy products from capitalist businesses. People go out and save their money and start an entrepreneurial project. You know what I mean? We live this thing. Every chance we get, the right goes out and makes it happen. We open up businesses. We sell things. We get involved in trade. We sacrifice for returns down the road. On the right, every day, if left to our own devices, we go out and just make it happen. Have you noticed that on the left, they talk about socialism. They want to bring in socialism and all of these control things from the government. But when left to their own devices, they never do it. Why don't they just do it? The right talks about capitalism and free markets and then just goes out and does it. When given the opportunity, it's almost rare now with all the regulations, even at the local level, even the cities micromanaging signs and, you know, all this other stuff. But when the right wants to accomplish something, they just go out and do what they're talking about. Capitalism, free markets, you know, private ownership of stuff. The left, why don't cities like Baltimore or Jackson, why don't they just go full socialist? Why do they have to wait for a president of the United States to take over and then get socialist in Congress and then announce a bunch of socialism and stuff? You know what I mean? Because they know it will fail. Now, they tinker around with it. They grow big governments down in these little urban levels. But isn't it interesting? You know, with my family, when my kids want money, I, as their father, had a choice to either hand it to them or tell them to go out and earn a little bit of money. And I did that. I would say, well, you know, I mean, I'm a free market guy. I believe you earn money. This is good training for the kids. I would get them to go earn some money. But I cannot find a single Democrat who will be a socialist family. If socialism is so great for a nation of 325, why won't Democrats just do it at the family level? You know, pool all their money together, each according to their, you know, from their ability to each their needs, whatever the, I'm flubbing all over that line. But it's very funny to me that Democrats and socialists and all of these people never enact what they want to enact for all of us when they're just given the opportunity to do it. Have you ever heard even of a socialist enclave somewhere? Now, there may be the odd commune out in California, and I encourage that. As a libertarian, if you are a committed socialist, I encourage you to go and experiment with socialism. See, the thing is, with a libertarian, it has to be voluntary. So if you want to recruit 5 people into your socialist paradise, then have 5 people. I will not stand in your way, nor will I even judge you. You let me know how it works. If you want to include 10 people, go get 10 people. 100 people, great. 1,000 people, knock yourself out. If you want to find 10,000 people within a city that want to enjoy the benefits of the socialist workers' utopia, then knock yourself out. Go do it. You don't need to wait for the rest of us. You don't need to wait for a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren. You can just go out and do it. Imagine getting 10,000 socialists together. What could you do? Everybody bringing their income in? Can you imagine the health care you could provide for one another? Can you imagine the minimum wage you could institute within your little fief? I mean, 10,000 people. This is the thing that I don't understand about the left. You're so powerful, you just don't realize it because politicians tell you you're just a bunch of helpless children so constantly. But you've got the power. 100,000 committed democratic socialists? Couldn't you move to an area and make this utopia happen tomorrow? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do it anytime you're... Because, as I say, the right, when given the opportunity, we do what we talk about. We do free market, capitalistic stuff. And it seems to have worked pretty good. And if you were honest on the left, you'd look at your smartphone, you'd look at your car, you'd look at the house you bought or the apartment that you rent. You would look at the clothes that you wear and you'd go, ah, you know, capitalism has delivered on a few things, basically everything in your life, but you refuse to do that. But it just struck me the other day that the right will go out and do what they say they're going to do, and the left never actually does it. Now, they're trying to foist it on everybody. Don't get me wrong. It's not that they're not trying to get us forced into all do that. They're trying to go in and get their hands in the billionaires and the millionaires' pockets so they can do this stuff. But the thing is, there's millionaires and billionaires on the left right now. Tons of these hedge fund managers are leftists. We all know that vast majority of Hollywood is leftist. A lot of dollars out in Hollywood. Why don't they just do it? Why do they have to drag us all into it? If there's why couldn't Hollywood be the socialist utopia? Can you imagine how exciting that would be? Where when you make a movie, the stars of the movie, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they make the same as the sound guy. Wouldn't that be great? They could do that tomorrow. Now, I don't want to pick on Brad Pitt. He doesn't seem to be as big a social justice warrior as the rest of them. Who would be a good one for that one? Well, Michael Moore. Michael Moore would be a good one. There's plenty of them out there. Robert De Niro. Can you imagine? They could start a movie. Michael Moore could write the movie. Robert De Niro could star in the movie. And everybody could be paid the same. Michael Moore would get $15 an hour for his contribution. Robert De Niro would get $15 an hour for his contribution. And the sound guy would get $15 an hour for his contribution. Everybody would be equal. It would be great. There would be no patriarchy. There would be no hierarchy. There wouldn't be no greedy millionaires making millions off the movies. But the left never actually does these things when they have the opportunity to do them. It seems kind of disingenuous to me. I'm going to do this Baltimore mayor thing, though, when I come back. Because it goes to a bigger point that I make on this show. I almost feel sorry for this woman. Not really. I'm sure she's a thug. But I looked at the dollars. She was found guilty of, or she pled guilty to, income tax evasion. I got to tell you, at this point, when you hear the numbers in this, I believe income tax evasion for this woman is the act of a patriot. Yeah, that's right. You heard me right. Anybody who lays down and accepts this kind of confiscation of wealth from a private individual is just a sheep. The real patriots stand up against this thing. Now, I don't believe this woman's any saint patriot, but good Lord, listen, I want you to hear the numbers when we come back of what this woman, what she was responsible for in taxes when her income went up. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
Your Republican Senate, your conservative, strong conservative Senate has passed a continuing resolution to keep the government open. I'm sure everyone's happy to hear that. Since we send up a couple of Republicans to this Senate, passed a continuing resolution with 74 votes in favor of the measure and 20 against. Now, all of the 20 votes against this continuing resolution were actually Republicans, and they were the better Republicans up there. Marsha Blackburn, Mike Lee, Rand Paul. They voted against this continuing resolution. It was very interesting also, Rand Paul. I wonder if he's just got a bruise, just feels like his forehead is bruised for banging his head against the wall. He tried to introduce another penny plan, just 1% pulled off of the federal budget. It was voted down. Now, how did your Mississippi senators vote for this thing? Well, they're not on this list of voting against it with Mike Lee and Rand Paul and some of these others. So I assume that Republicans, Cindy Hyde-Smith and Roger Wicker, voted for this spending bill because they vote for every spending bill because Mississippi doesn't care. Mississippi loves to talk about term limits. I swear to God, if I hear more Republicans from Mississippi talk about how we need term limits, you just crack me up. You just sound so stupid when you say that. No offense. I mean, you know, I'm being a little hyperbolic here. But you just keep electing the exact same kind of candidate. And then you say, well, we really need term limits. What are you going to do with term limits? I mean, if that's almost like saying you want a term limit on Ford F-150s. But you just, every year, you get another F-150. They just come down the assembly line. You take one, you use it for a year, you get rid of it, you get another exact same one off the same assembly line, assembled by the same people at the same time in the same fashion, and you drive it for a year, and then it's gone. And so then you get the next one. I guess I should say 4 years or 6 years or 2 years or whatever it is to match up with the term. These are just assembly line candidates. Mississippi always takes the establishment route. I don't know if it's because we're dumber than other states. I'm really not sure because Kentucky has got Mike Lee and Rand Paul. Thomas Massey and Rand Paul. Of course, they also have Mitch McConnell. So I don't know what's going on in Kentucky. But Mississippi, we are the worst establishment state. And so funny that I constantly hear Mississippians talk about the establishment. They love Donald Trump because he's not in the establishment. Yet you always, every chance you're given, you vote for an establishment person. I don't know who won the, did Trump win the primaries in Mississippi? The Republican primaries in Mississippi? Or did we vote for Jeb? I'm not even sure. All right, I wanted to cover this real quick. Former Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh pleaded guilty Thursday afternoon to federal charges in the Healthy Holly book scandal. Pugh pleaded guilty to four of the 11 charges, including wire fraud, conspiracy to defraud the U.S., and two counts of tax evasion. The disgraced mayor faces up to 35 years in federal prison. Sentencing is expected in late February of 2020. The indictment alleges Pugh used her position of power to defraud the customers of Healthy Holly children's book series for personal use and also to fund her mayoral campaign. The indictment alleges that from November 2011 until March 2019, Ms. Pugh conspired with Gary Brown to defraud purchasers of Healthy Holly books to enrich themselves, promote Ms. Pugh's political career, and fund her campaign for mayor. Mr. Brown helped Pugh solicit nonprofit organizations and foundations to buy the Healthy Holly books. The indictment said for years Pugh evaded paying taxes on the sales of her books. Okay, just a couple of things real quick on this. Yes, this is an easy story for a conservative radio show host. We love to see when it's put out there in front of us that these Democrat-run cities are just as corrupt as they can be and the people on top of them are thieves. Yes, they are. They're some of the worst politicians in the world. They're definitely morally defective and criminals and all that other stuff. When they talk about the nonprofit organizations buying these Healthy Holly books and funneling the money into this woman, I got to tell you, that happens every day. Why do you think the Obamas got $65 million book deal? I've been through the numbers. I've done them on this show before. No way that the publishers are going to get their money back plus a healthy profit on a $65 million book advance to the Obamas. And what they do is they send them out to the campaign, donors buy them. It's ways to get politicians' kickbacks. This book racket across the board, it's like what we're seeing with the impeachment stuff. Foreign aid is just a huge, it's just a taxpayer-funded cesspool of corruption and kickbacks and bribes and quid pro quos. the whole thing. I'm not talking about Ukraine stuff. So, it fascinates me in this stuff. Why didn't Trump just come out and say, I know they would have blasted him, but at least it would have been honest. Why didn't he just come out and say, yeah, I wanted to investigate Biden. He's a criminal. Yes, they weren't investigating this, and it's so obvious that the Bidens were making money off Ukraine after the taxpayers paid to overthrow the government of Ukraine. The Bidens stuck their beak in there, were sucking out the profits. Of course I wanted them to investigate that. It would have been at least honest. But all of these things, it's kind of like college sports. You hear, well, some college gets in trouble for some recruiting violation. We all know every college does. If you dig deep enough on every college football program, somebody's doing something to get somebody on that team they shouldn't be doing. But listen to these numbers. So, first of all, what she did with these books was criminal. It was corrupt. It's all those bad things that you want to say about this woman. I got no love lost for her, but it's probably pretty normal. These book deals are such a scam. But here is the thing that really got me. For the tax year 2016, Ms. Pugh claimed her taxable income was little over $31,000 and the tax due was a little over $4,000, when in fact her taxable income was over $322,000 with an income tax due of approximately over $100,000. In other words, her taxable income was more than 10 times what she reported to the IRS for that year, and she owed more than 20 times more in taxes than she actually paid for that year. Say 30%. Our tax code creates criminals. That is just disgusting to me. I know there's law and order people out there, well, I pay my taxes, so they should pay their taxes. Yeah, you're getting ripped off, so you want to see somebody else get ripped off. I know. I guess that's human nature. It seems weird to me. I'm getting screwed, so I want everybody to get screwed. I'm scared to fight back, so I want everybody to get scared to fight back. I would not wish a $100,000 federal tax bill on my worst enemy. I might wish that my worst enemy lose $100,000 in a storm, in a robbery, in a fire. I might wish that my worst enemy lose $100,000 in the stock market. I might wish there are a million things for my worst enemy, but I would never wish that my worst enemy would have to give money to this government. Do you see how our tax code creates criminals? It just creates them. Who in the hell is sitting in a chair in Washington, D.C., looking at anybody? And just take this corrupt Democrat politician, mayor of Baltimore out of this. Just look at the numbers. What person in Washington, D.C. feels entitled to think that somebody that makes $322,000, that $100,000 of that belongs to the government? Now, I know this happens every day. It's just that the numbers were there in front of me in this story, and they hit me this way. I understand people who make $1 million a year are paying $300,000, $400,000 in taxes. I understand these things. Well, but then when they get to $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, that's when they get wealthy enough to start getting carve-outs in the federal tax code, and they leave them alone. But I know people that are making $300,000 are getting screwed like this in taxes. People making $500,000 are getting screwed like this. I mean, it's not new. It was just the number was just, it just jumped out of the page of me. Can you imagine somebody on your homeowners association just deciding, oh, look, we're going to do homeowners dues a little different now. We're going to base it on your income. That's right. We're going to base it on your income. So for low income people, dues are going to be fairly reasonable. But if you make some money, if you go out and succeed in this world, we're going to take a third of your money. Would you put up with that? Would you say, well, I'm sure the HOA. I mean, it's the price we pay for a beautiful neighborhood. They do keep up the shrubs nicely. Of course not. You'd never put up with this. $322,000 in income. The government thinks that they get over $100,000 of that, over a third. They just pluck it out of there. And I can't decide what is more fascinating to me. the fact that we've allowed this to happen, the fact that we have such a culture of jealousy and hate in this country where I know what happens. The average, I hear from people all the time, I pay mine, they need to pay theirs. It's a weird thing. It's like we're getting even. It's this idea of jealousy and envy, and it's on both sides of the aisle. Now the Democrats are really bad about it with the billionaires. You know, the poor people look at the billionaires as somehow lucky people, and they want to take their stuff. On the right, we just see anybody who breaks the law, because it's the law, Mike. You got to obey the law. I pay mine; they should pay theirs. Instead of bowing up and telling the government to sit down and shut up and get their hands out of our wallets. So I don't know what's more fascinating to me, that we allow this to happen or the fact that I'm the only one that really cares about it. I don't know which is stranger to me. Taking $100,000 from an American citizen's pockets on an income of $322,000 is about as disgusting as it gets. And I don't care if it was my worst enemy or the most corrupt person in the world. I might want to see somebody lose their money if they're corrupt. I don't want to see it go to the federal government. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me that you love me. All right, I've got a little hodgepodge of stories. Not that much longer before I get into my segments next hour, False Flag Friday, and a little look back at the week on the Lunatic Left. Got plenty of that. Clips and stories for that. Oh, the snowflakes are so entertaining on the left, I will say. Of course, there's snowflakes on both sides. I bring that up constantly. I trigger right-wing snowflakes all the time. All the time. Yesterday, Benjamin Netanyahu was indicted. I'm thrilled with that. I think Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is like people at the top of every government, like Merkel or anybody that's on the top of basically any government across the world, they're politicians, and they're usually corrupt. And I'm no fan of Benjamin Netanyahu. I think Benjamin Netanyahu has been playing the United States for forever. But this flies in the face of particularly the evangelical who have been led to believe that everything that comes out of Israel is fantastic, the Palestinians are nothing. I ran across this. Now, this is concerning to me. I don't know. I'll let you listen to it. It was not a coincidence that Mike Pompeo came out and said, well, we've changed our mind on these settlements in the West Bank when it comes to the Israelis. This is right before they were making a decision. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu has been trying to form a government over there, and Benjamin Netanyahu and Trump are buddies. Before the election, I guess before the election is when Donald Trump said he was going to give Israel the Golan Heights. Still beyond me how a president of the United States gives away a part of Syria to Israel. It's bizarro world, but again, that's what we live in. This announcement of us changing our mind on the settlements was another thing. Now, here is another swamp creature that I'm going to call out that most people want on conservative radio. I know people love him. It's Mike Huckabee. Not a fan of Mike Huckabee. But listen to what Mike Huckabee says. He is over in Israel, and he's doing some of the he's working on some of the groundbreaking of some of the settlements. Now, this was Palestinian land. I'm not going to weigh into this entire thing, but, you know, there is blame to go across the board in the Middle East. I know we've been, particularly on the right, we've been led to believe that everything that Israel does is great, everything the Palestinians does is terrible, and terrorism. But I looked into this a lot. It's not the case. Both are equally guilty of good things and bad things. It's much more nuanced than we're led to believe. Anyway, listen to this. This is just odd. This is odd for Trump supporters out there. It's kind of a question for you. This is Mike Huckabee talking about Donald Trump weighing in and giving Israel all this extra power over there, giving the Golan Heights, giving the West Bank, moving Israel, allowing the settlements now to be built over there. And this is what Mike Huckabee said about that.
But we are discovering that as president, he's also a builder. He's building a new world order of recognizing that America's strength is best found when it's honest and when it's forthright and when it sees things clearly right and wrong.
I don't know. I got to tell you, the New World Order thing kind of stuck out at me. He's placing the cornerstone for a new West Bank settlement, and he says that Donald Trump is a builder, and he's building a new world order. I'm just saying, if anybody else had said that about anybody else, conservatives and anti-globalists would be losing their mind about him. If this was said about Barack Obama or George Bush or Bill Clinton or anybody else, if somebody said they were building a new world order, anti-globalists, Trump supporters would be up in arms saying, listen to that, they're just throwing it in your face. Mike Huckabee says Trump's building a new world order. And, of course, I'm sure there's some innocent explanation of this one. Jeez Louise. I'll be right back.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're all
I don't have much time to go into anything in depth right now. I want to get into a segment next hour talking about how they depersoned. You know, we're seeing right now this censorship of people on YouTube, on social media, particularly on the conservative side, even some left wingers. They're shadow banning people on Twitter, and we're watching it in real time. It's one of these things where you can see it because it's kind of funny. There's so much alternative media that when they came for parts of the alternative media, the rest of the alternative media was there at least to speak up about it. Now, before social media, where we had instant access to information, people were being deplatformed, depersoned in a kind of real stealth way. You just didn't really notice it. Suddenly, their articles just didn't appear in the few big newspapers where they used to appear. They didn't get the book deals they used to get. It seems like it's been a while since we heard from writer X, Y, and Z, but you didn't know. They couldn't get the word out. You know, there was no social media or internet megaphone to go, hey, look, they're silencing me. It's just they would just disappear, and I don't guess I had really considered it. And we're going to read a little bit about, you know, what led up, you know, things about World War II that are true, but when people pointed them out, the powers that be censored them, got rid of them, and instead inserted their propaganda. And I've just got a couple of paragraphs I'm going to read from a very long post on it, because it's the same kind of propaganda and narrative driving that they do right now with us. The reason that a lot of you listening have either been tacit or enthusiastic supporters of wars against innocent people, even though you're probably a Christian, you probably would consider yourself to be a good moral person, yet there's just somehow, some way that you've been convinced that it's okay for us to go around the world destroying other people's lives for no reason. It didn't do anything for us. Because they give you the fear that all of these brown people halfway around the world, they're all plotting to kill you. That's why it's okay for us to kill them first. Now, there's no evidence of this. It's not true. There are some, yes. But not all. They try to make it all. Anyway, I'll show you kind of the parallels to that. Here's another just story I ran across during the break. It just shows you. I mean, the level of hypocrisy on both sides. It's why, as an observer, it's why I can't be for either one of these parties. They're so hypocritical, both of them. The New York Times writer who praised Hillary Clinton for wearing a white pantsuit called Tulsi Gabbard a quote-unquote cult leader for wearing exactly the same thing. Style writer Vanessa Friedman had drooled over Hillary's clothing back in 2016, calling her white pantsuit quote-unquote presidential. However, when Gabbard, a fierce critic of Clinton, wore virtually exactly the same outfit, Friedman said it made her look like a cult leader, full of combative righteousness, and that the white fabric had, quote, connotations of the fringe rather than the center, unquote, and undermines community building. Journalist Glenn Greenwald highlighted the fact that it's normally considered sexist to judge women on their clothing, but an exception had to be made for Gabbard. See, I mean, the hypocrisy. This is left-wing hypocrisy. The hypocrisy everywhere. It's just nuts. Let me ask you about this. I got 2 minutes for this break. You know, one of the conclusions I came to from watching a little bit and seeing the highlights of this Ukraine testimony, I am seeing Republicans really brag about the fact that Donald Trump gave Ukraine lethal weapons where Obama would not. Do you even know what that means? Why are Republicans bragging about the fact that we gave weapons to Ukraine so that they could kill Russians? Now, it's very interesting to me in the mindset of this, as we're talking about hypocrisy. We've got Republicans out there, when Donald Trump says he's going to get us out of endless wars, they cheer. And then the Republicans, out of the other side of their mouth, they brag about giving lethal weapons to Ukraine when Obama wouldn't do it, and Republicans cheer. I'm confused. Do you want the endless wars to continue, or you don't? Or have they tricked you into believing that the, well, Iraq and Afghanistan, those are endless wars that are no good, but a new war with Russia, that would be okay? Are you that simple? Are people that simple-minded that they can somehow be told that some endless wars are good and some endless wars are bad? Why are the Republicans bragging about giving Ukraine? Not to mention the fact it's just they were bragging about doling out taxpayer dollars. No one else paying attention to that. Oh, we gave billions. Trump gave Ukraine billions of dollars. Same way that every other president gives every other country around the world. They just dole out taxpayer dollars. That's, to me, the real scandal of the whole thing, is that they pick our pockets and give it to other countries. But why are Republicans trying to brag about the fact? And they've got most Republicans. I've heard people call into talk radio, including the station, say, yeah, well, Trump at least gave them lethal weapons. Why do you want to see Ukraine start a war with Russia? Have you bought into the Russia hysteria of Marco Rubio and Lindsey Graham and the rest of these warmongers? Why do you cheer to end endless Middle Eastern wars and then cheer to provide arms to Ukraine so that we can start another even more disastrous war with Russia? That makes no sense.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and this is Friday at 10 o'clock. So I've got my kooky little section here called False Flag Friday. I do it now because of the alliteration. I like the Fs. Some other Fs I'd throw on top of this segment, too, because it makes me very angry. American people and people around the world throughout history have been convinced to do atrocious things, convinced by politicians and by governments who profit from these things. The wars are one example of this. I don't get poison ivy. Kind of odd. I don't know why. I've never in my life had poison ivy. Now, I know that as you get older, sometimes these allergies will flare up, but I can go arm deep. I can reach into a thing of poison ivy, wrap it around my arm, and pull it out of a bush, much to the horror of everybody around me. Though, do you know what you're doing? That's poison ivy. I say, it doesn't matter. I don't get it. I just somehow I'm immune to poison ivy and poison oak and whatever else. Knocking on wood, knowing that it could change every day. As of right now, I am immune to all of these things. Never had any of the problems from those things. Apparently, I'm also immune to propaganda. I can see it. I can identify it. And it doesn't bother me. It doesn't take hold on me. I don't know what it is. Something about me. Maybe it's something. Maybe the poison ivy. Maybe there's some connection there. I'm immune to certain things that other people are not immune to. I ran across this really interesting article yesterday. I could spend a whole show on it, although I don't know it'd be compelling radio. I'd rather people read it, but of course it was taking me hours to read through it, and most Americans won't read anything that takes more than about 6 minutes. Well, if you're interested, if you want to see this article, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you the link. It's really a fascinating article. What it was talking about was the fact that historians, when they go up against the official story, the narrative that governments want to drive, even if they're well-researched, if they get near the truth, they are deplatformed. Now, we're seeing that now on YouTube and on Google or on Twitter, you know, your shadow banned or whatever. We're kind of seeing this, but it was kind of surprising and interesting to me that I just hadn't even really considered the fact that, you know, historians who had always been held in high regard, when they started researching, you know, a particular area of history and they discovered it wasn't as everybody was being told about it, and they went and did the documentation and proved it and footnoted it and everything and came out with stuff, that the establishment went in to crush them and deperson them. People who had tremendous reputations as historians up until World War I or World War II, when they started writing the truth about World War I and World War II, they were crushed. They didn't get any more book deals. They weren't allowed to put their columns in the papers they used to be in. And nobody really knew why, because nobody was reporting on it. There was no internet at the time. You just thought, oh, that guy's kind of disappeared. I'm going to read a little bit about World War II from a guy named David Irving. And David Irving was known to be one of the best historians going into World War II. But when he started writing this kind of stuff, they depersoned him. I don't think I clipped enough to get out of to really tell you what his career path ended up being, but this is pretty fascinating stuff. And, you know, we all have our ideas of what World War II is, right? World War II is the madman Hitler was just on a march throughout Europe trying to conquer the entire world for the white race, and that's that, right? And all of the good guys lined up against him and fought him, right? I mean, that's what I've learned throughout my life. But what if it's more complicated than that? Now, I'm going to tell you again. I don't know. I'm just kind of dipping my toe into this. But this is David Irving. He was a very well, and this part, what I'm going to read to you now, is tremendously well-sourced and documented. It's got footnotes and all that stuff. And I can't remember the name of the book that this is. It may say it in here. But what I want to show you is that what I'm trying to prove with this is that when anybody goes off script, like I do every day here, at some point they'll kick me off. When somebody goes off script, they're depersoned. There's no allowable room for any discussion of anything. Even if it's well-resourced, even if it's the truth, you got to be on message. That's why people, you know, Trump supporters, some of them don't like me, won't listen to me, because I'm not on script. You got to be all in. If you just call out the facts and call it like you see it in society, and apparently this is not new, you run the risk of being deplatformed. Listen to what David Irving said in World War II, and just I found this fascinating. Since ending the war with Germany was in his nation's interest but not his own, Churchill undertook ruthless means to prevent peace sentiments from growing so strong that they overwhelmed his opposition. Along with most other major countries, Britain and Germany had signed international conventions prohibiting the aerial bombardment of civilian urban targets. And although the British leader had very much hoped the Germans would attack his cities, Hitler scrupulously followed these provisions. In desperation, Churchill therefore ordered a series of large-scale bombing raids against the German capital of Berlin, doing considerable damage, and after numerous severe warnings, Hitler finally began to retaliate with similar attacks against the British cities. This population saw the heavy destruction inflicted by these German bombing raids and was never informed of the British attacks that had preceded and provoked them. So public sentiment greatly hardened against making peace with seemingly diabolical German adversary. And I see this kind of thing. So see what this is that Churchill says, okay, well, I really want to see our cities bombed and we really want to get this thing kicked off over here, but what can I do to provoke the Germans? Well, I'll just bomb the crap out of their civilians, but we won't tell our people we're doing it. And then when they retaliate, we'll point. This is every conflict that I see Americans supporting. You think that Iran is this existential threat to the United States, but you don't pay any attention to the fact that we overthrew their government in 1953 and installed our own strongman over their country. You wouldn't put up with China overthrowing the Trump administration and installing their strongman here. You would find that unacceptable. But we think it's perfectly normal because this is what the U.S. does because we're always the good guys. No, we're not. We overthrew the Iranian government and put a strongman on top of those people. Of course they were going to be angry with us at some point. But we don't pay attention to that. In his memoirs published a half century later, Professor Revelo B. Oliver, who had held a senior wartime role in American military intelligence, described this sequence of events in very bitter terms. Great Britain, in violation of all the ethics of civilized warfare that had therefore been respected by our race, and in treacherous violation of solemnly assumed diplomatic covenants about open cities, had secretly carried out intensive bombing of such open cities in Germany for the express purpose of killing enough unarmed and defenseless men and women to force the German government reluctantly to retaliate and bomb British cities and thus kill enough helpless British men, women, and children to generate among Englishmen enthusiasm for the insane war to which their government had committed them. This is the way it happens every time. Provoke, 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 and then when the enemy that you want to take down reacts in any way, see, like Iran, how many people fell for this? You surround Iran. We've got 34, 36 bases surrounding Iran. We call them names. We're choking them off economically right now. We've got an embargo on the country. No food, no medicine, no transport, no trade in their oil, no nothing. And then when they shoot down our drone, we lose our mind and almost go to war. Can you believe they shot down our drone? Pay no attention to all the provocations. Only wait until the media jumps on something that Iran does in retaliation. This happens over and over again. It's fascinating to me that this happened in World War II. It is impossible to imagine a governmental act more vile and more depraved than contriving death and suffering for its own people, for the very citizens whom it was extorting to loyalty. And I suspect that an act of such infamous and savage treason would have nauseated even Genghis Khan or Hulagu or Tamerlane, Oriental barbarians universally reprobated for their insane bloodlust. History, so far as I recall, does not record that they ever butchered their own women and children to facilitate lying propaganda. In 1944, members of British military intelligence took it for granted that after the war, Marshal Sir Arthur Harris would be hanged or shot for high treason against the British people. Of course, he was not. This is David Irving explaining what really happened in World War II. And I'm going to continue to read this, and then this is actually not, I'm not reading David Irving's book, I'm reading a a very long article about how historians who got things right, very highly regarded historians, were deplatformed from writing books, from submitting articles, even in the past, when it did not conform with what the government's narrative was. What's the government narrative up into, including today? Britain good, Germany bad, right? There are biographers they talk about. I'm not sure if it was David Irving that talked about the corruption that was going on in the Churchill administration. Now, Churchill lived this very extravagant lifestyle. No one could figure out where he was getting the money to do it. A lot of members of British Parliament at the time were seemed to be spending an awful lot of money. Nobody could really figure out where it was coming from. But Churchill's a hero in our eyes, right? So these people who wrote things critical of Churchill, they were just deplatformed. They were depersoned, never to be heard from again. No more book deals for them. No more newspaper columns for them. And we're seeing it right now. This happens today, right? And we're seeing it today. Where's Edward Snowden right now? Exiled in Russia. Our Secretary of State, the whale, Mike Pompeo, calls him a traitor. Needs to be hung. Where's Julian Assange right now? We're slowly killing him. It's not enough to deplatform him. With Julian Assange, what he did in exposing the truth of what these warmongers and our elites do, because he exposed that truth and put it out there for the people to see, he must be slowly murdered. And they're doing that right now. Americans don't care. We're so distracted with this political theater we've got in front of us and the rest of the ridiculousness that we pay attention to. But we are responsible for murdering Julian Assange, our government right now, and Donald Trump, who says, I don't know anything about WikiLeaks. Yeah. You don't, Donald? Most Americans understand what WikiLeaks is. Most Americans know what Julian Assange is. You seem to praise him during your campaign. Now you say you don't really know who he is. Well, I'll tell you who he is. He's a journalist. He gave a platform for people to publish things that the elites don't want people to see. He just put the truth out there. It might have hurt some people's feelings. It might have exposed our country and other countries' governments for being bad. But it was the truth. And Donald Trump has got him rotting in a jail right now in England, threatening to bring him over here and try him here. I know there's a lot of people who say they're just waiting to get Julian Assange over here so he can spill the beans on the deep state. Well, I got to tell you, to you people who believe that theory, they better hurry up because he's dying. They are killing Julian Assange right now. He's not long for this world. So you better hurry up and bring him over and bust up the deep state. I'm not going to hold my breath anyway. This is as old as time. It's very interesting that this has happened with World War II. Got another couple of little false flag stories, and then we'll do some more red meat stuff. I'm going to get into the weeks and the look back and the lunatic left. Yeah, they're funny. They're comical. But boy, this is the important stuff. If you knew the propaganda you were exposed to on a daily basis from both of these parties that are serving the exact same elites, we'd change things. Until then, we won't. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
Americans are not hearing about it, but the OPCW, which is the Organization for the Prevention of Chemical Weapons, or the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, whatever it is, they've got a huge scandal on their hands with these Syrian gas attacks that I told you the day they happened were false flags. They've got all kinds of whistleblowers coming out of this OPCW saying, we knew this was not real. They falsified evidence. They ignored evidence. They didn't interview people. They had an agenda going in to blame Syria for these gas attacks, and they didn't pay any attention to the investigation or anything. This would normally be pretty big news. You know, we launched about 200 Tomahawk missiles into Syria as a response for these, which are an act of war if you find out that you did it for no reason, right? this would be a really big story in a normal world. But we live in this propaganda prison. It's happening right now. I don't have time to go into all that stuff, but you can look it up. You can see OPCW scandal. It's all over the place. Here's another scandal we've got here. I ran across this story. This is a little old. Let me see when this is from, but you know, not everything. This is from 2017, August of 2017. Busted parents catch FBI and plot to force mentally ill son to be a right-wing terrorist. And I want to bring this one up because this is kind of a new trend. I've done a couple of stories like this now. Are you noticing that a lot of the terrorists that are being arrested now in these every 6 weeks FBI stings where they come on and pat themselves on the back for busting another, foiling another plot, used to be Middle Eastern people, right? It's a lot of right-wing people now, right? A lot of kids that were going to shoot up black churches. It's people going to bomb federal buildings. A lot of right-wing people are suddenly domestic terrorists, and the FBI are taking them down, and this was a particularly egregious one here. The hundreds of foiled terror plots the FBI has busted over the years, many of them have been focused on people of Middle Eastern descent or people associated with ISIS or Al-Qaeda. This time, in the case of Jerry Drake Varnell, a 23-year-old diagnosed schizophrenic, accused of attempting to bomb a bank, the FBI fomented terror from a right-wing dialogue. And this has kicked this off. Again, this is 2 years old. According to federal documents, Varnell drove what he believed was a stolen van containing a 1,000-pound ammunition nitrate bomb on Saturday morning to blow up Oklahoma City Bank. However, if we backtrack just a bit to when the FBI began grooming their would-be right-wing militia terrorist, the vileness comes directly from the government. Quote, the FBI knew he was a schizophrenic, Varnell's parents declared on Wednesday in an open letter bravely published by News OK. Quote, underneath his condition, he's a sweethearted person, and we are extremely shocked that this event has happened. However, what truly has flabbergasted us is the fact that the FBI knew he was a schizophrenic. The state of Oklahoma found him mentally incompetent, and we, his parents, have legal guardianship over him by the court. The documents are sealed from the public, which is why no news media outlet has been able to obtain them. The FBI clearly knew that he was a schizophrenic because they have gathered every ounce of information on him. What the public should be looking at is the fact that the FBI gave our son the means to make this happen. He has no job, no money, no vehicle, and no driver's license due to the fact that he's a schizophrenic and we, his parents, do everything we can possible to keep him safe and functional. He has suffered through countless serious full-blown schizophrenic delusional episodes, and he has been put in numerous mental hospitals since he was 16 years old. The FBI came and picked him up from our home. They gave him a vehicle, gave him a fake bomb, and every means to make this happen, none of which he had access to on his own. And this is why this happens. This is a clip in a testimony. This is a former FBI assistant director, Thomas Fuentes. This is, again, an assistant director of the FBI. What have I told you? How do they control American people through fear? They got you scared of everything, don't they? Both sides. Got some people scared of climate change. Got some people scared of terrorists. Got some scared of Muslims. Got some people scared of Russians. They always got to get you fear. They got to get you scared of something. Why would that be? Now, this is Thomas Fuentes, FBI assistant director, talking about the budgeting process for the FBI and all these intelligence agencies.
If you're submitting budget proposals for a law enforcement agency, for intelligence agency, you're not going to submit the proposal that we won the war on terror and everything's great, because the first thing that's going to happen is your budget's going to be cut in half. You know, it's my opposite of Jesse Jackson's Keep Hope Alive. This is keep fear alive. Keep it alive.
Yeah, there you go. That's a former FBI assistant director. He's telling you right there, you got to keep the fear alive. Got to keep the fear alive. David Steele, a 20-year Marine Corps intelligence officer, second highest ranking civilian in the U.S. Marine Corps intelligence, and former CIA clandestine services case officer, had this to say about these most unscrupulous operations, these things where the FBI takes some weirdo malcontents, usually mentally challenged people and can get them through an entire plot and then at the very last minute pull the plug and pat themselves on the back for foiling terrorism. Again, that's to keep the fear alive, to keep their funding flowing. Here's what David Steele said, quote, most terrorists are false flag terrorists or are created by our own security services. In the United States, every single terrorist incident we have had has been a false flag or has been an informant pushed on by the FBI. In fact, we now have citizens taking out restraining orders against FBI informants that are trying to incite terrorism. We've become a lunatic asylum. He's exactly right. That's David Steele, a 20-year Marine Corps intelligence officer. Second highest ranking civilian in the U.S. Marine Corps intelligence and former CIA clandestine services case officer. He's exactly right. When Americans stop buying into the fear and stop following this stuff and stop believing the propaganda, again, I don't get poison ivy and I don't suffer from propaganda. Maybe there's some I fall for that I can't see, but some of this stuff is so easy to see through. All right, we'll move on to more lighthearted, fun, red meat stuff for conservative radio. A look back at the week on the lunatic left. They really have lost their mind. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, wrapping up a week. So the last final segment of the week every week is a look back at the week on the lunatic left. I got a little into False Flag Friday stuff there. I hate this stage terror, this manipulation of people by fear. It's time people catch on with that. We've spent $7 trillion, thousands of troops' lives, millions of innocent people have died. We need to start catching on. I mean, it's just time. And I was thinking about it during the break. I thought, well, yeah, I'm not even in the mood to get into this lunatic left stuff. I usually like to have fun with it, but this stuff is so aggravating to me on the previous segment. And then I started pulling up my clips for the left, for the look back at the week on the lunatic left. And I'm about to get into one that I think may be the story of the year. I try to identify that one story that is just so absurd and bizarre and just, it just says everything about the times we live in. I'll say it again. Last year, it was the story of the dude who was found naked in a McDonald's ladies' room. It's a dude in the ladies' room naked doing jumping jacks. That's right. It makes no sense whatsoever. Just absolutely bizarre to me. That said, 2018. Because 2018 was the beginning of this slide towards complete insanity and nervous breakdown that we're having in this country. I may have found the story that it shows what 2019 is. This was the media's reaction to the impeachment stuff. As you can imagine, they're seeing a lot of potential in the game changer that was this impeachment.
Now we know that every fantasy about how corrupt this administration was is actually true.
Our live coverage of the blowtorch testimony this morning.
Blowtorch!
From Gordon Sondland. Turns out to be the guy who has offered the most stunning testimony.
In addition to that, and the bombshells we've heard about, this was an IED from Mr.
IED.
Sondland.
As you said, taking a blowtorch to every defense
again.
Donald Trump has offered. We don't say this very often anymore because it's rarely true, but I think today changed everything.
Of course, it changed everything. The walls are closing in. All the same ridiculousness. That's your media right there deciphering what was really a terribly boring television production. I got to tell you, they better spice something up. If they're coming back at him, now Trump wants the Senate thing. I wish he wouldn't even say that. I don't want to see this. Oh, but Mike, he's going to turn the tables and he's going to make Schiff and the rest of them look bad. Yeah, I know, but nothing's going to happen. I don't want us to be put through another couple of weeks of pageantry so that everybody can make their political points and nobody goes to jail, nobody gets in any trouble. This is pointless. which is will be kind of my clip in just a second. Let's see what this one was. Oh, yeah, this was the snowflake in the uniform, Vindman. This clip, I talked about it the other day, just really drove me nuts. This little pie boy, and again, if he was going after Obama, Sean Hannity would be telling you to worship this guy because he was in his uniform. But since he's going after Trump, we can call him for what he is, a doughy little weasel. He really came across as a scummy guy, and this was his most scummy comment out of all of them.
You testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
I'm sorry, I missed the very beginning of that, which is so important. Listen to what Devin Nunez calls Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified.
God, what a slimy little piece of filth. Ugh, I can't stand it. Look, if you're a doctor out there, congratulations on being a doctor and doing all the training. We're all sufficiently impressed. It's very difficult to go through it. But if somebody calls you mister, don't correct them in front of a bunch of people. It's doctor. It just comes across as very pompous. Here's the story that kind of gives me, got me kind of chuckled. This is not the best audio clip. It's almost better to watch visually. You may or may not have seen this. It couldn't have happened to a worse piece of filth. Eric Swalwell. You know this guy? California. He ran for president for about a week and a half before he realized nobody likes him. He's very really weird guy, and sometimes he will do interviews. I encourage you to watch this, where he does not blink at all. For like segments at a time, I have noticed this. It's not all the time. He may be another cyborg. But he's just one of the most hyperbolic, real pains in the rear. And speaking of that, this was him on Chris Matthews. This was Fartgate.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
Okay, so... Do I need to play that again? That's just not great audio. His body shifts. His shoulders kind of go up when that happens. Now, what has been said is that was a cup going across the desk of Chris Matthews. Now, I don't know. I can't necessarily vouch for that. It could be either one. Maybe it came through his earpiece, and so the noise startled him. He makes a physical reaction when this sound happens. I just like it because it's so absurd, and it just kind of says something about where we are politically in this country. Got a caller online. Caller, are you with me?
I am with you, and listening to you about Eric Swalwell. You know what he reminds me of? I don't know, a weasel?
Yes, he's the worst. This guy is...
I don't know, and I don't know what Adam Schiff reminds me of. I wrote a song about him, but I didn't pronounce his name quite right.
Yeah.
I can't sing it.
He sets himself up for that. Well, do you have have you heard, have we gotten to the bottom of Fartgate? Are you familiar with Fartgate? Because
I am familiar with that, just recently. And, you talked about Swalwell's never blinking. A lot. If you watch shows that have experts on gestures and hand movements and things like that. I saw one recently, and she said liars seldom blink.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, that certainly fits. I think that maybe they're both, because I saw someone really telling some doozies the other day, and they blinked about 10 times in one. Oh, I think it was actually Prince, whatever his name is, the guy that was Epstein's buddy
Andrew.
Over there. Yeah,
Andrew.
Prince Andrew was doing some heavy-duty blinking, so I don't know. But anyway, yeah, Swalwell was one of the worst. Thanks so much for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, so this is, I'll play it one more time. Now, you have to see this. To get to the bottom of this, you have to see it. He makes a physical movement towards this. Now, he has denied it. But I got to tell you, this is every bit, to me, every bit as important as the rest of the impeachment hearings as to whether or not Fartgate is real or imagined.
Didn't use taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from...
I got to tell you, it's his physical reaction to that. That's what implicates him in this one to me. It just couldn't, that kind of controversy could not happen to a better person. Eric Swalwell, the guy is just, he's horrible. Let's see. This was kind of random. Joe Biden, as I say, We got to get clips on here when we can. This came out after his actually, not even after. This came out, I think, before his debate appearance.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm Joe Biden's campaign manager here at our Philadelphia headquarters. Joe Biden had a great debate tonight. He proved he's ready to be commander-in-chief on day one. So join the team. Chip in $5 now.
He can't even time I believe this was a tweet. He cannot even time a tweet. They sent that out before the debate actually took place, saying that he obviously won the debate and was ready for you to chip in and give a few bucks. Oh, let's see what else we got here. Rob Reiner, the case. This is a tweet from Rob Reiner. The case against Donald Trump is beyond a slam dunk. If he is not thrown out of office, Putin will have been successful in destroying our 243-year democratic experiment. I got to tell you, I think Rob Reiner at this point is getting paid for this stuff. Now, maybe Soros, or maybe somebody else. I don't know who it is. He can't be that stupid. And I understand you think he probably is that stupid. Maybe he is that stupid. But I believe these kinds of comments, still tying to Putin and all this other stuff, they're getting paid. I mean, I think it is that you just can't be that stupid. I've got a clip here. I'm not even positive exactly what this is. Something about Yang and Russia. Let me see what he had to say.
I want to propose a new world data organization, like for data, because right now, unfortunately, we're living in a world where data is the new oil and we don't have our arms around it. These are the ways that we'll actually get Russia to the table and make it so they have to join the international community and stop resisting appeals to the world order.
Ah, that was Yang. He wants to bring Russia into the new world order of data, a worldwide database of information on everybody. Sounds fantastic. Really fantastic. All right, I'm going to pull these up. I've actually kind of run out of the ones I've pulled up. I'll keep going. I got a 23-year-old YouTuber that really did not like finding out that she was white. We got Charlie's Angels. And we've got Warren, Elizabeth Warren and her billionaire tax. It really is. It's all fascinating stuff. Lunatics on the left, no doubt. I can't stand the whole system, either party, no nothing. But the left has staked out a new territory.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, as we wrap things up for the week, taking a look back at the week on the Lunatic Left, I want to remind everybody, though, this Saturday, that's tomorrow up at Your Pie in Gluckstadt. If you go up there and eat with them tomorrow, 10% of your receipt will go towards Fifth Squad. Now, this is a charity with the goal of getting veterans off the streets and back on their feet. There is very little that is more despicable than knowing that we have people that served in our military that we have forgotten about and we are not helping. Fifth Squad changes that. This is Your Pie fundraiser. That is tomorrow, Saturday, November 23rd. If you are around, you got kids coming home from college. I know about that. You got other kids coming home out of school. You want to find something to do with them this weekend, or you just want to go get some good quality food, go up to Your Pie. Again, 10% of your receipt will go towards Fifth Squad helping these veterans They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway up in Gluckstadt. Fantastic food. Pastas, paninis, pizzas, salads, craft beer, gelato, wine. They've got it all. And it's a great environment. This is a veteran-owned business doing something tomorrow on November 23rd for veterans who are suffering right now. We need to do much, much more than just talk about supporting our troops. This is one of those groups that is actually going out there and making a difference for those troops that are struggling right now after they come home. So anyway, that's Your Pie tomorrow. 10% of your receipt will go towards Fifth Squad if you go and check out Your Pie during business tomorrow on Saturday. Go check them out. All right, let's finish up here. Let's see what else we got here. Charlie's Angels, a new iteration of Charlie's Angels, hit the box office and landed with a Swalwell. Did not do well, and apparently it is sexist. That is the reason. It's very interesting. Elizabeth Banks, who I've liked in some stuff, she's a pretty good comedic actress and stuff, but apparently she was the producer and maybe the director of this thing. I don't know. She was involved. She says the reason it's flopping is because it's sexism, that men won't go see women. Now, of course, this completely ignores the fact that Charlie's Angels was one of the biggest shows on television back in the 1970s, and that two of their previous movies of Charlie's Angels starring three women has done gangbusters. Now, apparently this is a woke version. I have not seen what all the plot twists and turns are to attack the white male patriarchy, but I'm sure it's in this thing. That's why this movie's failing, Miss Banks. It is not because guys do not want to see cute girls fighting crime. They always do. This was Joe Biden. A couple little gaffes. Again, it's just to the point where, I mean, it's okay to misspeak every now and then, but he's like some kind of a generator of gaffes. Talking about Medicare for All.
The fact is that right now, the vast majority of Democrats do not support Medicare for All. It couldn't pass the United States Senate right now with Democrats. It couldn't pass the House. Nancy Pelosi is one of those people who then thinks it makes sense. We should build on Obamacare, provide the plan I put forward before anybody in here, adding a Medicare option in that plan, and not make people choose. Allow people to choose, I should say.
I got to tell you, Joe, if you're on the left, you've got to have your stuff about choice down well. This is Elizabeth Warren. She's got an ad out. Her fight with the billionaires is actually pretty interesting. I've had some clips that I've not played. I just haven't gotten around to it. She's calling the people, the billionaires in the society, and look, I got problems with some of them. A lot of these people who get billions of dollars are tied to the government. They get it because they get sweetheart deals. Warren Buffett is the biggest crony. He tries to make you think he's some grandpa aw shucks guy. The guy's a shark using taxpayer dollars to backstop some of his big bets. I'd make a lot of money, too, if I had the federal government guaranteeing me that I wouldn't lose any money, which is what Warren Buffett does. Just FYI, the guy's a thug. Anyway, her idea about these billionaires being, what was the term she used? Something like, they're worthless, or she's tired of them not chipping in, not paying their fair share. This is billionaires. It is patently insane. If you were on the left, do you really believe this stuff?
It is time for a wealth tax in America. I've heard that there are some billionaires who don't support this plan.
The vilification of billionaires makes no sense to me. It's bull.
She would ruin what we have.
She probably thinks more of cataclysmic change to the economic system as opposed to tinkering.
Well, I'm most scared by Elizabeth Warren.
So here's the deal. You built a great fortune. Good for you. I guarantee you built it at least in part using workers all of us help pay to educate. Getting your goods to market.
I mean, doesn't everybody, whether you're a billionaire or not, use workers that everybody helped to educate? Conceivably, I guess, if they went to a public school, why is it just the billionaires who have to pay for that? This whole thing is disgusting. I got to tell you, I could just break this down. I don't have enough time.
On roads and bridges, all of us help pay to build. We're Americans. We want to make these investments. All we're saying is when you make it big, pitch in 2 cents so everybody else gets a chance to make it.
God, that's so disgusting on so many different levels, and I don't really have time. I've got like 2 minutes, and I want to play this clip about a snowflake. A woman. Let's see. Well, here's Nancy Pelosi. She doesn't understand. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to even play that. It could be misrepresented. Oh, here's a report. Millennials are all stressed out about Secret Santa. Millennials say that Secret Santa gift exchanges in the workplace cause anxiety because they're worried about being too much of a Grinch with gift giving, according to a report. About 17. There we go. Dr. Ashley Weinberg, a workplace psychology expert at the University of Salford in Manchester, said the gift exchange has become an anxiety trigger for young people who fear they will be humiliated if a present is not well liked. Good Lord. Talk about a first world problem. Let's see if we got here. Oh, where is this girl here? Yeah, this is a girl who submitted her stuff to 23andMe because she wants to be a social justice warrior, and she found out she's white.
Oh, that's not cool. That is not cool. They took away my Asian heritage altogether on this one. 99.9% European is what it's saying now. Like, tell me that is not the rudest thing you've ever heard. And 0.1%, wow. Middle Eastern and North African. Woo! That's a really small percentage. Not very happy about it. Glad it's on the paper, though. Also, side note, I realize that most likely any type of like African heritage could have been from slavery, and in which that case, most likely one.
God, this is. Does Hallmark make a card? Hey, sorry, I heard you found out you were white. My deepest sympathies. Good grief, these people have lost their mind. That's all the time I got today. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday. Bye bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.